CliffCentral.com. 360 Biz on CliffCentral.com.
It is 360biz.com. My name is Debo Mafodi. Welcome to another exciting installment of 360 Biz right here on Cliff Central. It is a beautiful Wednesday. You know, this is a show that brings you all things business. We bring in legislators, we bring in government officials, we bring in regulators, we bring in entrepreneurs and movers and shakers, game changers. This is the show definitely that we have here every Wednesday, 1 p.m. right here on Cliff Central. If ever you've just tuned in, you can definitely go listen, to other previous shows on the podcast, being www.cliffcentral.com, or you can even download the app. It's a Cliff Central app. If ever you want to follow us on social media, it's at cliffcentral.com. If you want to follow us, follow me on Twitter, it's at DeboHomaFody, DeboHomaFody on Instagram, and at DeboHomaFody on Facebook as well. I'm excited that today I'm bringing in young people in the show. We're bringing in young movers and shakers. Today's show, I mean, it's young business men and women building empires in South Africa. I'm very excited that these are movers and shakers that I've said. They said, no, Runa, we don't want to be part of the red race, that we actually get jobs. But we're going to go out of our way to actually start businesses that are doing amazing things. These are the guests that I'm having in studio. I'm actually excited that later on in the show as well, we've got a young lady who's the youngest, who's actually doing as well initiative that is focusing on entrepreneurs. Bulelani is actually hosting an event called What Is Your Brand? Radisson Hotel. I just was there before I came here rushing onto the show, but I know definitely he will be joining us. You know, being in Joburg, traffic is definitely one of the things that we're dealing with. 360 Biz, I mean, today is presenting young South Africans, millennials who are changing the game, created or are on their way towards creating empires. I mean, today we highlight the work of young entrepreneurs and innovators who are shaping South Africa's future. I mean, we bring you young men that have taken the action and they prove that there's nothing for the youth in South Africa, or that is impossible for the youth in South Africa. We'll also be profiling a 14-year-old CEO. I mean, imagine. Right now we know CEOs being 30-year-olds and 40-year-olds, but we've got a 14-year-old CEO that is going to be coming. But more than anything, without wasting time today, onto the show, I've got a good friend of mine that I haven't seen in couple of years. Is it years or is it months? I mean, how long have I not seen you?
I think it's years now.
It's years, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely. But I know you've been in the hustle, and I see now you've started Aziki Green, and things are happening, my man. People, I'm sure they're wondering to say who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Mr. Lucas Getelo. I mean, who's the founder and CEO for Aziki Green. Lucas, do you want to say hi to our listeners? Tell us who you are and what is that you do?
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me, actually. I'm very excited. I've been wanting to come to your show, Deboho. So I've been following
it happened.
You.
It happened. It happened. You're here now. You know?
I know. I've been like pissed on you. Like, hey, my man, don't forget about me. I'm coming. Like, tell me the T's and C's and I'll be there.
No, definitely.
So thank you for having me. Looking forward to having a conversation with you and informing our listeners about Aziki Green and what we do and how we can, try and save save their businesses or their companies money and do good things for actually our country.
Yeah, no, definitely. No, welcome, Lucas. It's good to see you, my man. Let's keep on hustling, my man. You know, this hustle never ends. We'll definitely get there. One day is one day. Definitely. I've got another man in studio, Mr. Thomas Nkuna, who's the CEO of Jay Gapsy. Mr. Nkuna, say hi to our listeners. Tell us who you are and what is that you do.
Hello, everyone. As I have mentioned before, I'm Thomas Nkuna. I'm 24 years old, and I currently reside in Cape Town, but originally from Pretoria, Soshanguve. And I started, I'm the founder and CEO of Jay Gapsy Incorporated, and we're just growing very strong in Cape Town. So I'm really looking forward to be in the show.
Thomas, which part of Cape Town are you from? I'm in between Joburg and Cape Town. I'm in Franschhoek. Which part of Cape Town are you at?
Well, my house is in Kemps Bay, and one of our businesses is also in Kemps Bay Beach.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay. No, definitely. I never knew Hurahura, and there's maybe, but I guess we'll get to that point. Because I mean, I drive a lot in the Kemps Bay area. Mostly what I see there, it's townhouse, it's guest houses, hotel, and I mean, lifestyle businesses. Are you in the lifestyle business?
Very much so.
Oh, okay. Maybe because we are right on the issue. Do you want to tell us a bit about your business? What is that you do?
Okay, Jay Gatsby Incorporated is divided into various divisions.
Okay.
The one in Kemps Bay, we do beach rental equipment.
Mm-hmm.
We package your beach umbrellas, a chair, and a mini table alongside with a power bank and a Wi-Fi router for all the people that are coming in.
Oh, is
so
it?
So practically I'm making the beach to be home away from home. So you don't have to worry about your charger and your Wi-Fi, and you just relax. And one of the things that I've realized is that the customers were struggling in putting their bags on sand, so I created another set, something like a mini table to put their things there. So that's what I'm actually pushing there in Cape Town. And we also have another division with pool tables. We are working with various universities in Cape Town. We have pool tables, and the students, they come there, they play.
Okay.
And we are working on a pool and a national pool tournament alongside all the universities in South Africa. The date will be announced in due time. We also have another division for underfloor systems, installing underfloor heaters.
Okay.
And that's practically what we do.
Yeah, no, I see you're doing a lot of things. I mean, out there. I mean, how old is your business though?
Well, this new business, Jay Gatsby, started on the 30th of September.
And, is it Gatsby, like Gatsby the movie?
Yes, the Great Gatsby. The inspiration comes from there.
Oh, is it? Okay, yeah. tell us a bit about it, because I'm sure there's people that don't know. Have you seen the Gatsby the movie?
Yes, I have, is fortunately.
It? But listen, I know you've not seen Gatsby the movie, though, right? No, definitely. So but I know there's people that are listening or even probably watching us that will want to know. Tell us where is the spirit or which part of the movie actually inspired you to come up with that name?
Okay, going back to my first business. I'm into film, so I studied film and I love film. So when I watched a movie, I believe that there has to be some relativity between me and the film.
Okay.
So I watched The Great Gatsby. I realized that the fashion was on point.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a part where one of the characters mentions a word in admiring Gatsby's house. He says splendid, and that's where the name of my first business came about. And I was like, splendid. We were selling expensive suits, making leather shoes products, and after some few times it fell. But what I really admire about the Great Gatsby, or Jay Gatsby, is the fact that he started from nothing and he grew regardless of the situation that was surrounding him. And to me, that's the part that I took. Never mind what he did in the film, but as a nobody, growing to become somebody very important, that's something to take home. So I realized that also the lifestyle that he was living was catering, if you were in business, was catering for a certain market.
Yeah.
I thought that I would want to serve those type of people who are called the higher class or something like that. I would love to serve them, because I believe business is about serving people.
Yeah.
So I took that. I would say, I will serve the higher class. I will give them the best. I will give them what they want in the most expensive way. So yeah.
Thomas, you sense you're in the spirit of giving, my man. Give me that jacket, dude. You know, I mean, I'm the one that wear Lucas, you know, I'm the one that rocks that jacket, right?
I know.
So I'm the one. So now seeing it on somebody else, it's, you know, so you might as well give it to me, you know? So, and I rock it, and I'll send you a pic. Or you'll see it on TV. You may never know.
All right. No problem. We'll discuss that later.
No, definitely. Lucas, Thomas is in the business of serving people. How are you serving people in your business? Tell us, what Aziki Green do?
So to take it from the top, Aziki Green, the term Aziki means success in Swahili. So which is listening to Thomas speak here, I was like, it's funny because, you know, there are similarities also in how I came across the name. Also, Aziki Green, I've always wanted to be successful one way or the other. And I had a friend from Cameroon, you know, and we were just having a conversation, and he threw that word out, like, you know, Aziki. I'm like, what does that mean? Sounds interesting.
Okay.
And then I fell in love with the word. Fast forward to 2013, when you know, I was trying to find a new career, because I've got a very long I've been in the events and marketing space for some time. So I was like, what else can I do? Something exciting, something new. And I came across a recycling business. And when I say recycling, not the normal recycling that everyone is familiar with in terms of recycling paper or boxes, etc. Mm-hmm. But this was recycling oil, used cooking oil.
Oh, okay.
And making biodiesel out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, wow, that's interesting. Hey, keep in mind, I did not study chemistry. I am no scientist. I'm just that typical cool kid who just did marketing and business, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So read a lot about it, and it was very interesting that, you know, so what it does is that we recycle the used oil, and we make what is called biodiesel, which is a renewable fuel, a non-toxic renewable fuel that can power any diesel engine. And when I say any diesel engine, I speak of a generator, a car, a truck, a plant, anyone that uses diesel on a day-to-day basis with no need to modify nor change anything. So to elaborate more on that.
So you can supply diesel for my trucks?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you don't need to change anything in your engine. By that, like, you don't need to modify, change. Just like how, let's say, wake up this one morning and you realize you're out of fuel and you need to go to your nearest petrol station and you fill up and continue with your journey or whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
It works the exactly same way.
Okay. But now educate us. Educate us. Come through. Okay, what's the difference between a biogas diesel and your normal diesel? What's the difference?
So, what's this? If we look at fossil diesel, firstly, the crude oil is imported.
Okay.
And then it's being imported as well. You know, it's not cheap. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why every time there's a 30 cents. What do you call this? The 30 cents price increase at a petrol station, it becomes like, you know, it's deep in your pocket.
Okay.
Biodiesel is homegrown. It's environmentally friendly. It's good for your car. It's good for the environment. And, you know, South Africa is also known as one of the leading carbon emission contributor in Africa. So biodiesel is actually good for the environment, less carbon emission. It lasts slightly longer compared to normal diesel. It's it's safe to handle, to breathe, and also it's not flammable like normal diesel.
Mm.
I know most places, you know, wherever there's fuels, it will tell you do not you can't smoke or you can't think.
Yeah.
With biodiesel, you can puff your lungs away, you know, next to it, and there is no problem with that.
Is it?
Yeah.
Maybe let me take this opportunity to welcome my co-host, Bulelani. Bulelani, they say businessmen don't become late, they become delayed. Eh? So I was telling the gents and everyone that is listening about the event that you're having. Amazing venue, by the way. You're taking this to another level. Look at this man. I'm the one that used to come to see you wearing suits and all of that. So Bulelani used to come wearing shorts. Now all of a sudden you come rocking in suits, you know?
Just and trying to show that we're learning. We are copying.
No. But at least it's good what you're learning and what you're doing. I was telling the guys about the event that you were hosting. Maybe take this opportunity to say hi to the listeners, because I'm sure they're asking where the heck is Bulelani today. Quickly tell us about the event that you're having right now.
Bulelani here. Hi guys. We started the hashtag brand workshops at the Radisson Hotel. We're going to be doing those every month now. I thought it was going to be every second month, but people love the first one. It was the first one. So I've been working on brands for the past 10 and a half years, developing strategic brands, influential brands for corporates and individual brands. So that's what we've been doing today. So I was putting it to implementation and giving people recipes who are entrepreneurs and desiring to be entrepreneurs or build their own brands. How do you build a brand? So that's what we're going to be focusing on for the rest of the year. Instead of it being 5 months now, it's going to be the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Till November, we're developing strategic brands and winning brands. So I'm excited about that. So, yeah.
No, definitely. I mean, Bulelani, today we're talking young business people that are doing amazing things with their lives. I mean, you speaking about branding.
All I heard was biodiesel.
Yeah, in fact. Yeah. No, yeah, Lucas was educating us. So. But would you say, do we have enough you know, young entrepreneurs out there that are doing amazing things, especially the under 24s. That are doing, you know, amazing stuff in business wise and or that are building brands?
Well, I think from an analytics perspective, guys below the age of 24, there's that need, there's that itch or rather desire too, but implementation doesn't really become that much. But where you see a lot of implementation happening is from the age of 25 moving forward. I don't know if it's life becoming more of a reality or whatever the case is, but I really do feel that we need more guys coming to the fore with their ideas, because there's a lot of guys with a lot of amazing ideas and they could even be doing a lot of amazing things. And if they just step up to the fore, you never know. You know, you're stepping into the abyss of the unknown, and one thing that will be known is that success favors the brave, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, Thomas, when Bulena is speaking of the brave, I mean, I'm thinking of you here. It's actually a brave business that you decided to go into. Lifestyle, you know? And for somebody that have an honors in film and advanced English, I mean, how did you actually start into this business? You told us earlier as to what inspired the Gatsby and you starting this business, but you've not told us how, what actually pushed you to get into the entrepreneurial journey.
Okay, you know, one of the things that I believe in life is that the places and the things that are meant for us take us by surprise.
Okay.
I started filming and I went to Scotland for an internship.
Mm-hmm.
I was working as a junior script consultant and things didn't go well. I came back. I bought my first camera. A friend of mine actually helped me to start a business and his name was Lebohang and I'm Thomas. We decided, no, let's combine the names. It was Lethom Films. But of course, from university and without experience, without actually having money,
mm-hmm.
it's very hard to actually start into going into film. So I started a bit with photography. Then I always tell people that I love learning new things. If today ends without me in learning something new, I feel like I've been a waste today. So I got to learn more about how to make money specifically, how mm-hmm. to manage money and how to grow it. Because I believe that if you don't have that amount in your business, I don't think you'll be able to push your business.
Yeah.
You can't run a business on future profits or on zero.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to learn on how to make money. I was making about 300 sometimes on a photo shoot sometimes. But eventually also things didn't go well there. But I always believed that I was born to create waves in our world, you know. But and after that, I got a job in International SOS as a call center agent.
Mm. I used to work for International SOS, by the way.
That was draining. It was so depressing. And one morning I woke up and I said, I'm going to resign and I'm going to do something with my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't enrich someone else lest I get broke every time or I earn whatever 10% or 1% of what I'm making for that company. I'd rather be in charge of my finances than mm-hmm. having someone else to be there for me. So I resigned and I started a company called Splendid.
Okay.
And with Splendid, we were making suits. And that's when I really actually discovered my gifts.
Mm-hmm.
That I can sell anything. That's what I realized, that I can sell anything. Because that's when I realized. Because when I started Splendid, I had no money.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that, okay, I want to create a brand, but I don't have material. I don't have machines. What do I do? Then I went to close people and said, hey, I have a tie. I'm selling it. But for you to sell it, pay deposit. With a deposit, I bought material and I gave back the tie. The rest of the money was my profit. And that's how I actually started. And up till today, of course, the business Splendid is no more because of my bad decisions. It was a learning curve.
Mm.
And on the 30th, I was in Cape Town. That's when I was launching the division in Kemps Bay. We call it The Sense.
Mm.
So that's when I was launching it on its first day. We made about 30 grand on our first day. And ever since that day, we've never went below that.
So I was going to come to the next question as to what are some of the mistakes that you've done.
All right.
In business, because you've said you've made bad decisions. So do you want to highlight on some of the bad decisions that you made? Because obviously we want to be able to educate whoever that is listening. And maybe we might be probably doing the same mistakes that we want to learn from. Mm.
Okay, you know, one of the things that I was doing is that I couldn't separate my wallet from the business money.
Oh, so, okay.
Nigga, just talk. But anyway, I couldn't do that. And that also helped me to come up with this quote that you can't serve two masters at the same time. You cannot serve your wallet and your business at the same time.
That's true.
So I was taking, whenever money comes, I was taking it. I was paying my rent. I was buying food. I was dressing myself. And at the end of the day, the business is on zero. You still owe people. You still got to pay people. Mm. And you come up with excuses because the money's not there. You're waiting for another client to come. And still, it's a cycle, you know. So that was one of the mistakes I did. I couldn't separate my wallet from the business money. Mm. And I realized that I can't build an empire alone. So I got a team, but I had so much pride. I didn't respect the time and the effort they were putting in. And I ended up losing those people. I really didn't respect them. Let me just be honest. Mm-hmm. When somebody comes up with a new fresh idea, I was like, no, I started this my way. And that actually led to my downfall.
So it was actually your way or the highway?
Yes.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, Lucas, we've all done mistakes. I must say, I respect the kind of business that you went into, because obviously it's a rare business that, one, you find black people, and two, young people. So obviously, I'm sure when you started, because for me, I know you from when you were employed. Yeah. You are not in the petroleum or diesel industry.
Not at all.
You know, what are some of the mistakes that you did when you started your business?
Assumptions. And till today, I tell everyone that, you know, according to my business plan in my head, to be specific, I was going to break even 6 months later, and on the 7th month, it's profit. On the 12th month, I'm pretty much knocking at that millionaire door.
Mm. You wanted to roll with the big boys.
Exactly. You know? So it was assumptions. That was the first part. I didn't do thorough homework. I just got too excited. And I am a very impulsive person, unfortunately, you know, just by nature.
Okay.
You know, so, and then I took that to the business as well. That was the first. The second also was, as much as, you know, there are these gentlemen agreements and all of that, but if something is not on paper, until it's signed, dotted, and done, it's as good as it not being there.
Yeah. You know?
That's so true. So those are the mistakes I did, because, you know, I had clients who were, inverted commas, on clients, you know, who were wanting to place orders and who on. So I then was like, let me leave my 9 to 5. Let me go do this. I've got guys who are waiting for me. I can do it. And yeah, those are just one of the lessons. Like I say, I think the main biggest one till today that still haunts me every time is the homework that was never done properly.
Mm. But then we've done mistakes too, dude.
Sure.
What have you done?
A lot of mistakes.
what have you done? As the guys are talking, you know, it seems you are far down memory lane.
A lot of mistakes. I think it goes back to the same thing. It's thorough homework, being very ignorant of clear indicators that you need to do a certain thing and you just don't do it. Making money and chowing it, literally chowing the cash. But I think, you know, like one of my mentors would say, that's necessary schoolwork. Mm-hmm. I mean, not schoolwork, but school fees that you're paying.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you choose to continue with that, then it's negligence then on your side, in your regard, you know?
Yeah.
Because now if you're building our businesses moving forward. But I think it was just that, you know, being very negligent with the money and also with information that you are getting, you know, because we get information in business which we could clearly use as indicators to know if we're doing bad or if we're doing good, if we need to put more tension in certain sales or things and not implementing those things. So I think for me it was just that and just doing.
Yeah.
Take the today's cash, use it for this tomorrow. You're relying on tomorrow's cash to use it for.
Yeah, but you know what I've realized is that with most of us, it looks like the most consistent thing that we struggle with, it's the issue of finance. Because as well, it's one of my biggest mistakes that, you know what, it's not being able to separate my money and the company money, whichever money that came will used to be the money, definitely, that one would always use to actually run their business or do whatever that they need to do. So, but I guess it's something that we need to learn and grow through as entrepreneurs. But reality, one thing I always said as well is that it was something that was difficult for my family to teach me. I mean, they'll never teach me how to handle a million when they've never had 100,000, you know. So we actually learn things like credit, things like, you know, money and saving and budgeting out there, you know. I think hence, obviously, the show, the point is to bring in people so that we're able to educate this show. But, I mean, I'm going to go for an ad song. I think, obviously, when we come back, I want us to go deeper into the industries that you guys got into. You know, I mean, right now we're speaking about finance, the challenge of flooding finance. I know that sometimes to start a business it requires money, you know. So where did you guys get the money to actually start this business? Well, it's something that I want to definitely ask to get into when we come back. What do you want us to get into when we come back?
No, I think I'd like to know that the money, and you know, what are some of their growth plans, and what are some of the systems they have in place, you know, that kind of stuff. It'd be interesting to know. There's a lot more questions I have.
Yeah, no, definitely. Let's handle those questions when we're back.
CliffCentral.com 360 Biz on CliffCentral.com.
You are still tuned in to 360 Biz. My name is Dabhoma 40. We're talking today young businessmen that are doing amazing things in the business scape. People that are building businesses with the purpose of taking over, with the purpose of building these businesses to actually be an empire. In studio, we've got Mr. Thomas Ndlovu, who's the CEO of Jay Gatsby. And we've got Mr. Lucas Gedelo, who's the founder of Aziki Green. I mean, if you've just tuned in, you've missed out on an interesting discussion as to how they came about starting this business. So definitely now moving right along, we actually want to get more as to how do they finance these businesses. Because obviously to start a business is not as puzzle shop, gents.
It's not.
You know, and obviously we've tackled earlier on some of the mistakes that you've done into this business. Maybe I'll start with you, Lucas. I mean, you're in a business of petroleum, and it's a business that is not cheap. But now, how did you start this business?
So when
how did you finance it?
When everything, you know, was pretty much done and dusted, inverted commas, on done and dusted, in a sense of I was ready to leave my workplace and done the numbers and etc. So you know, I knocked a couple of financial institutions.
Okay.
And they loved the idea, loved what I'm about to do.
Mm-hmm.
However, my hands were too clean, you know, in a sense of, but you've never actually produced the thing yourself. Mm. And right now it's ideal. So I can't put in 2 million, you know, in this business that you've never done.
Okay.
So get your hands dirty a bit. Okay, cool. Go home, tell the plus one, the madam, that is, that, okay.
Head office.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. You know, good. Okay, listen, we need to scale down. Scale down, what does that mean? Okay.
Okay, we need to scale down. Are you in business with your wife?
No.
Oh, okay.
You know, scale down in a sense of, so I've just been approved to buy my first house, you know. And so I'm in that predicament. I'm buying a house, but which means if I buy a house, I'm stuck in, you know, I need to pay this bond. Or I've got this dream that's actually going to eventually get us to buy the bigger house and bigger, you know, bigger things.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then there's the car that I've always wanted. You know, it's not a Verpa, nor a GTI, you know, because, you know, but it's something that I've always liked. It's comfortable. I'm enjoying it. You know, it's a nice car. So I tell the madam, okay, what needs to happen is we get out of the apartment that we have. The car needs to be taken in, and we're getting a smaller car and a Bucky to be even more precise. So now we are, you know, we are tying down everything. So long story short, I resign, I get the package, I've walked out of there. I take all of that and I put into the business.
Hmm.
Everything, every penny, every single, you know, there is no, what if this thing doesn't work? Oh, what if this, what if that?
Okay.
And in this case, I'm like, and it's funny, everyone, when they asked me, even at work, like, what are you going to do? I'm like, the idea is, you know, to build an empire in the renewable fuel energy space.
Mm-hmm.
But how I'm going to start off as a spaza shop.
Okay.
From a spaza shop to
a fuel spaza shop.
Yeah, a fuel spaza shop to be precise, to a Walmart.
Okay.
You know, watch the space.
Mm-hmm.
So I pretty much did that. That's how I was financed the business. Fast forward, business wasn't doing well. Lost quite a few things, and then had to take the car, which was inverted commas like an asset for me, because I was using that, you know, to deliver the fuel, to go on site, to see guys, to do pitch. You know, I branded it very well so guys can see that, look, you know, I'm even using my own fuel. Well, in this case, I had to get just stock, you know, you know, so that guys can see it actually works.
Yeah.
This fuel of mine. And then unfortunately, you know, I had to then sell that again to try and refinance the business because, you know, just to see, potential investors that I am in this business 121%. You know, I've put in everything and I'm putting everything. And yeah, so that's pretty much how I financed my business.
Mm-hmm. Thomas, when are you? I know you were left with some trust, my man. Then goodness, I know I have mine. So I'm sure you were a trust baby somehow and you were left with some, or you went to dad and said, dad, I need 100,000 to start. How did you finance your business?
My story is very different.
Okay.
Way too different.
Mm.
After my business fell, splendid. I managed to pay a few people that I was owing, and there were also other things that I needed to pay, and I couldn't. And I felt like I couldn't do business anymore in Pretoria. I had about 3,000 rand in my pocket. That was the last money that I was supposed to pay somebody, and that would be the end of it.
Okay.
And by that time, I was staying with somebody in Pretoria, Montana. I was not staying in my own place. So I realized that, okay, let me go. I was trying to run away in a way that, okay, let me go to Cape Town. Let me see what it has for me. And with this, and by God's grace, I'll multiply it. I went to Cape Town, bought a bus ticket. I went there and I booked at this place called Colors of Cape Town. It's in Milnerton Reach.
Okay, I know Milnerton.
It was 200 per night. It was, thank God.
Mm.
And with that, I went to Kemp's Bay alone. And I realized that these people are struggling here. They have phones, they have everything that their belongings, but they still put them on send. And there was these two colored guys who were renting out the chairs and the umbrellas, but they were like 50 rand and it was dirty. And I realized that this is a very classy place for something like this to be given to these people. I came up with an idea. That night, Milnerton Ridge, I was sitting and I wrote everything down. It was approaching the 30th of September. It was not yet that time. I wrote the name down. I come up with a name. I said, okay, I'm going to call this The Sense. And I Googled prices. I realized that one chair was 240. And also an umbrella was also around the same amount. I asked that guy to give me at least a month to stay there for free. And when everything is fine, I'll pay him. It was not an easy thing for him to do because he's running a business. But he agreed. I took that money. I bought about 10 chairs and 10 umbrellas. And that's when I started to get in a little, just to test in the market, you know. And I realized, oh, it's working, this thing. So with the money that I have, with the money that I've been made from early September until the 30th of September, I took it and I bought more chairs to a point that I ended up having 100 chairs. And in which, I was aiming to have 100 clients. By the time, so it was a chair, it was an umbrella, it was a power bank, it was a mini table so people could put their things. And I said, I'm gonna sell this by a package of 300 rand.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized the people, they have money, and I'm giving them something quite awesome, you know. I'm giving them something they need occasionally beaching and getting excited, and suddenly you just lay bare on sand, you know. And they were excited about it. The response was good. 30th of September, I really met my target. 100 people, 100 sales got in. And from that day, I never backed down into sales, of course. So in a nutshell, I had to go through some fire to find my to fund my business. I had to sleep at a B&B with only my phone and charger and laptop. And sometimes I wouldn't eat. And there's this friend of mine. Sometimes we make jokes and say, you know, what's food? Because we went through some tough times together without food because we wanted to fund that business from the money that we have. There were no sponsors. There were no funding from different departments. And one of the things I believe that within each and every one of us has the power to create wealth.
That's true.
I believe in creation, not donation.
That's true.
So, and creation on its own, it's not easy. So I had to go through that fire to make sure that my business survives today. And that's how, to cut a long story short, that's how I actually managed to fund my business.
And I mean, with regards to the chairs, are you leasing them out to the people? Are you selling?
Oh, okay. To the people?
Yeah. Who are going to the beach, or are you selling?
No, I can't sell to them. I rent them out.
Okay.
You come with your family or whatever, and you chill there. The whole day is 300 rand per chair. If you have a family, give up a 5, it's going to be the 300 to 5, because I'm giving you everything that you need. You're not going to struggle, carry charger, carry Wi-Fi, that's pictures and everything, you understand? So I just rent them out. And right now, I don't have a storage yet, but it's one of my goals to, by the end of the year, kebane kisetse dominate the other three Yadi Beach around Cape Town.
Yeah, because that was my next question to then say that, I mean, is this the only spot you're occupying, and what other spots are available, you know, for you to also occupy? And then at the moment, you're still sitting on 100 chairs?
Right now.
And 100 umbrellas?
Yes.
And then what's the growth plan? I mean, I know that you mentioned that you'd like to move to the other two sites, but I mean, what's the capacity that you'd need to move to those two sites now?
Okay, right now, what I need practically is a... I need a storage, you know. I need to rent one of those huge storage so that I could be able to go to Muizenberg Beach and all of those other beaches, especially Clifton. I want to go there. And applying for a license to trade there, I think that's not a very hard thing, you understand? So I'm waiting. I've given myself until June so that I could build a mini storage that I could buy a lot of stuff, then kiribeka mola, rather than now kireke dilo and then ditlale, or just put them there, because the demand, it's not really that high to a point where I would have more than 100 clients, unless ili December, kejele ka December.
Mureki.
Every day, mureki every day.
So man, tell me, I mean, with the rand to dollar exchange, and I mean, it's fuel this side, I mean, how does that affect your business, you know?
Very, very interesting. I'm starting to teach myself how to trade, funny enough, through that. Because the more, unfortunately, it's on a selfish point here, because I get excited when the rand is doing bad, simply because that means that when we're buying the crude oil, it's going to be more expensive. It's going to be, which means then it gives a higher this possibility that come end of the month or beginning of the month, the petrol station or diesel will go up, which then gives my business a lifeline, because we are cheaper than the normal diesel. We are homegrown, so we don't have, you know, exports and import issues type of thing. I think the only thing that is becoming a challenge more than anything is more of what we call the feedstock as well. But the more the when the rand is doing bad, the dollar is doing good, the brand crude thing, what's this, barrel is getting stronger. I pretty much do the the moonwalk dance, you know, because it gives my business a life. Yeah. Because, you know, in any business, you know, you do want to save. Yeah. One way or the other. So whereas, as I say, you know, we are cheaper than, and when I say cheaper, I mean, someone probably somewhere now is asking them how cheap or whatnot. We're looking at about plus minus 20% cheaper. Someone will say that's not a lot, but I mean,
that's a lot.
If you do that on a monthly times that by 12, I think your board members would be very happy and end of the year as well. So you know, we
just as a question, I mean, at what range or what sort of clients would you then be working with? How many liters would you then be looking at trading on a monthly basis in order to have someone as a client, or how do you work it out?
Anyone who does from 1,000 liters, even less probably, 1,000 liters a month to as far as 500,000 liters a month, I'm your guy.
I'd like to start at 1,000. Yeah. Would you like the savings? I mean, I think the money I spend at the local, we've got an account with the local petrol stations, a total. And I mean, it's not a lot of cash, but I think, I mean, if one could save, I'm an entrepreneur after all. Exactly. One could look at those avenues.
But now, maybe let me ask Lucas this. The petroleum industry is very regulated.
Yes.
Not only regulated, monitored and stuff, that the prices need to be, you know, according to international ratings and this and this and that. How do you work out your pricing, though, to come out cheaper?
Goes back to, as I said, so biodiesel, because it is renewable energy, you know.
So it's not regulated.
So yes and no.
Yes,
excuse me. Yes, in a sense that it always has to be cheaper than biodiesel. I mean, sorry, than fossil diesel.
Okay.
So it's regulated in that sense that, you know, I can't be more expensive than normal diesel. It'd be 50 ppm, 500 ppm, or 10 ppm. As well. Not regulated, that part is more of it's not regulated because right now it is yet to be, the legislation is yet to be passed. So there's a whole long paper trail and type of thing, which I think I'll take the whole show if I try and explain that. So in that sense, no, it's not regulated. I think it's more of As the entrepreneur, as the, you know, the producer or manufacturer of it, you know, it's how cheap are you getting your feedstock, you know, and then, you know, it's like if we get the keep ka ranta mo, and I come in kere taka di keep ke what's this, 90 cents, 80 cents, you know? So in that case, that's how pretty much it works.
Yeah. And then, I mean, when you're up in Joburg, who's watching the business down in Cape Town?
I have a few people that I trust that side.
Yeah.
And that's why I really can't spend my whole day in
Joburg. Okay.
I have a few people that I have trusted and they are working there. And yeah, but one of the challenges that even Heketloha, I just feel... because we don't have we've tried to implement Tabatau Swiper, but a lot of people, they have cash. And I've also tried to implement the cash security people to come in, but I don't think that's quite proper to scare people with guns in a beach. They come there to relax, you know. So when I'm here, I know business, I know Raina Smogo all over Toba. You know, and that kind of scares me, and that's something I'm currently working on, how to solve that, you know. But when I'm here, I'm worried of how many I'm losing, because I can go back and I say, okay, I'm from since Kitsamaya 80 until now that I'm back. And they will tell me, no, today we have made at least 15 grand, you know. But how sure am I that it was that? You know, because I don't have the receipt, I don't have that. And I, you know, so that's currently what I'm currently working on and trying to fix. And yes, I'm really trying to meet people who could help me with good strategies on how to monitor that.
I think, my mind is sparked around. You see such problems spark my mind.
We love solving problems.
I think some form of QR vouchering on aluminium plates that you'll stick on there, camera to phone.
Then it helps with stock taking? Accountability of stock, so you know exactly what you bought, and if it vanishes and there's no money for it, then you're able to track it.
Okay.
You know, that's what Bulelani is. There's technology these days.
Yeah, because I'm trying to think, you know, in the environment, it'd be nice to see the environment so that we could weigh in a picture.
Okay.
To say, try this and this and this, and then see if you could utilize a one camera system or technology system, or you have an advert saying to clients that if you bring it back with the voucher by this time, it gets scanned, you get how much, maybe 10% off. You know, that kind of stuff that forces it, that forces an analog business normally to go digital so that you can track where you are, and it minimizes on the risk of people now saying, I think another thing for me would be a voucher or loyalty system where they have to scan. If they don't scan, they do not get the next beach thing, whatever, free. Maybe they get the umbrella, the table, the chair, the power bank for free after 4 or 5. It's a nice retention strategy, number one. Number two, if it goes through the system, then you can vet.
Listen to this, man. Listen
then
to
you
this.
You can vet. And all of these are free things that are easily accessible, a QR, every time they come.
No, gentlemen, unfortunately, we're running out of time. You know, and it actually happens half of the time when we're having a good time. But we try by all means to close off the show with style. You know, so I want a word of 30 seconds of inspiration to somebody that is listening out there.
From me?
Both of you.
All right.
You can go first.
All right, let me go first. And one of the things that I vastly believe in, especially for business people, is that when you save money, money will save you. And as much as we're making, let us make sure that we have our financial systems in place that we can be able to save money. We don't save money to grow. We save money for a rainy day so that we can be able to invest on that rainy day. So that's one of the things that we really struggle with. Hey, extra, we want to blow it. But I would advise people to save money because one day it's going to come back and save you.
That's true. Like that, yeah.
Save money so that you can save. Yeah. My brother?
Well, on my side, to anyone, you know, any young person who's going into business, who's thinking of going into business, is look, go out there and knock. But, you know, the mistake that most people did, including myself, is, you know, you knock and then inside someone tells you, Ario, you know, we are not there. Yeah. And you turn around and walk away. But like that, there's someone there. So continue knocking until they open that door, you know. Don't give up. Understand your dream. Understand your vision. Write it down. Sometimes we have these visions that we don't write down and we try and aim. How are you going to hit the target if you don't have the target, you know, in front of you? You know, so guys, girls, anyone there, you know, just continue working at it bit by bit. I'd be lying if I say it's easy. You know, because if it was easy, everyone would do it.
Yeah, no, definitely. Bulelani?
Yeah, man. I just think go out there and create global brands with a South African appeal and brands that will speak of a South African story, because that's what we need right now. Not just brands that will be global, but that will speak of South African story. We know too many New York stories and too many New York movies. Now we need KZN, Gwamashu, Alexander, Soshanguve, you know, movie.
No, definitely. I mean, what am I saying? The guys have started it. They've started it young. I started it young. Bulelani, you started it young. We're still in the machine, oiling this machine as we go. It doesn't matter the age that you add. Go out there, make a difference, and start something. That's the only thing that you need. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us on 360 Biz. So quickly, for somebody that wants to get hold of you, when can they get hold of you?
Facebook, my account is Jay Gatsby, and on Instagram it's jgatsby_real.
Okay.
And I'm also available on WhatsApp, but I think can I give that the number? Okay, it's 071-951-4050.
Okay, my brother. Okay.
On Facebook, it's Aziki Green, and that is spelled A-Z-I-K-I, Green, the color. It's two words. That's on Facebook. On Twitter, is the same. Instagram, is the same. I'm very quick on my phone. I respond very easily on phone. It's 078-149-7068. And, yeah, that's where you'll find me.
No, definitely. This is all that we had for you today on 360 Biz. Catch us again next time for another exciting episode of 360 Biz right here on Cliff Central. If you have just tuned in, you can download the Cliff Central app or go to the Cliff Central website on www.cliffcentral.com, or you can even go to www.rightvectv.com to actually get as well the live video of this. So my name is Deborah Mafodi. Catch us again next time for another exciting installment of 360 Biz. I'm out.
CliffCentral.com.